Hello and welcome to the Built to Scale podcast, a podcast from Sattva, where we explore the stories, the systems, the turning points behind businesses that are built to last. I'm your host, Maggie Olson, and each week I interview and talk with entrepreneurs, founders, and industry experts to uncover what it really takes to grow a business without losing yourself in the process. Because scaling isn't always about working harder or adding more tools. A lot of the time, it's about building the right systems, making intentional decisions, and creating a business that really supports the life you're trying to build. So let's go ahead and get started. Hello and welcome back to the Built to Scale podcast. My name is Maggie Olson. I am your host. And today I want to ask you the question, should your business fit your life or should your life fit your business? So for years, entrepreneurs have been told that success requires sacrifice, longer hours, more hustle, more pushing through, go, go, go. But what if building a sustainable business isn't about doing more? And maybe it's about designing a business that actually works for the life you want to live. So today on the podcast, my guest is Tiffany Galilean. She's a business coach, web designer. She's the host of the Business Bravery podcast. And after years of doing business, Tiffany has intentionally created a business as well as systems that allow her to grow while navigating all the things that life throws at you, from chronic illness to caring for family to embracing all of her multi-passionate nature. So today we're talking about courage, sustainability, building a business that supports your real life, and everything in between. So Tiffany, welcome to the Built to Scale podcast. I am thrilled to have you here.
Thanks so much, Maggie. And I'm super excited to be on here. And I also want to say, just as a multi-passionate entrepreneur who's in the middle of a pivot, I think you explained what I do better than I can right now, because I'm in the middle of that pivot and trying to find the words. It's like, I think it's this, but is that what they forget it? So yeah, it's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, because I know when I was looking at, so everyone who comes on the podcast answers a bunch of questions. And when I was looking through that and just our conversations on socials, I was like, oh, there's just a lot of cool things that are happening. And I mean, I know myself, I've been in a pivot. I feel like I've been pivoting every month, all year, this whole year, maybe even all of last year too. So it was so fun to just like put this together and like kind of find those words for this. So let's start out. First, introduce yourself. Share with us who you are, what you do, where you're pivoting to, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously I'm Tiffany Gleland and I'm a business coach and website strategist. I help multi-passionate entrepreneurs, coaches, and service providers around the world to build a business that fits their real life. So whether that be family priorities, caring priorities, health priorities, that kind of stuff, you know, one small brave step at a time. So the pivot has been like, I was big on business bravery and do the next brave thing and everything. And now that bravery is kind of matured and is perhaps a little quieter, like bravery is still there, but it doesn't have to necessarily like be big and loud and nervous system poking every single day necessarily, if that makes sense. I'm still doing the brave things and I still talk about bravery, but that's how it's moving. It's being brave enough to be yourself still. So yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And I think there's so much importance there in being brave enough to be yourself. Especially with how big social media is now and just all the ways you can grow a business. I think it's easy to get lost in, like literally lost in the sauce of like, oh, this person says do that. That person says do that. A Yap challenge, I'm down. ChatGPT just gave me 3 months of content, right? Like there's so much that sometimes the bigger, braver thing to do is take a step back and go, okay, wait, what is the next right step for me? Not what somebody else is saying. I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that Yap challenge thing, I just want to say I was on that page on the last hour before it closed for round two, because I completely missed round one. And then round two, I was there, and the part of it was, you know, there's daily prompts and you have to create daily content. And that's not something that suits me. Like, I do my content in batches. I do sometimes smaller batches, sometimes bigger batches, depending on how I'm feeling, managing chronic health issues. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I made the decision. I was like, I'm going to commit to this, but not in the way that she's decided to. I'm going to do it my own way and really build this as something that fits me. So, but yeah, just know I was there, I was hovering, and it's like, oh, it looked like such a great deal.
I mean, same round one and round two. I was like, it is very reasonably priced, right? I think $297 US, which is, I mean, that's a good deal for what she's talking about. But then, you know, like before I was going to hit the submit, I was like, but you know what? I am already kind of doing this, and it feels like a lot. Like, the excitement is there, but also, do I really want to show up in the way that she's sharing, or do I want to take this energy and, like you did, pivot in my own way? Because I am, you know, like, I've been in the middle of a pivot for the last like month, trying to figure out like, okay, here's where I want to go. And like, how do I want to move forward? And then how do I share that? So like, it just felt like so much. And I mean, well, I'm a manifesting generator and so are you. And, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, yay, manifesting generator excitement. And then I'm like, wait, no, maybe this feels like way too much.
I know, right? Sometimes it's hard with the manifesting generator excitement, but then I have to kind of realize that manifesting generator excitement is great in a certain phase of my cycle, and then another certain phase of my cycle, the ideas are there, but perhaps the body isn't quite with me on that one.
Yes. So you've been in business for over 14 years. I'm curious, if you kind of look back and reflect, what do you feel like success looked like when you first started, and how do you feel like that has changed, shifted, matured now, right? Like, what is that kind of been for you?
Yeah. So this is a really interesting question, because when I first started, and this will make sense as to why I ended up creating a podcast around business bravery, is like, I was so scared to put myself out there. Like, I didn't tell anybody in my life that I was building a business for the first year. Like, I did stuff online and everything, but I just tried to keep it so separate, you know, and just until I had, I guess, felt comfortable in that identity. Not that I had those words for that at that time, but success at that time was more, hey, can I tell people I have a business and that kind of thing? And I was very lucky when I told people I had a business, everybody was just like, yep, like, it was not a surprise to anybody else in my life, right? Like, there was no, what are you doing that for? Like, everybody kind of got that it just made sense, right? Like, I was that ambitious, nobody batted an eye, and I thought, oh, yeah, that was interesting. The other side of the coin of success in those early years for me was definitely around the money and building the business that everybody else wanted. Like, I looked at leaders in the industry at that time. I don't even know if these guys are, I mean, I know they're still around and everything, but your Amy Porterfields, your Marie Folios, and like, I'm saying it like there's lots of them, but in some ways there are lots of them. And James Wedmore, right, as another one, who were, you know, and like, they had 10 figure businesses, teams of 10, 20, however many people. And I was trying, like, because of the manifesting generator and the visionary in me, I was trying to build that, but on my own. Mm-hmm. Maybe one VA. And I could see the whole vision and I want to do it all now. Patience is not necessarily my strong point all the time. So yeah, it's, I guess, no surprise as to like more burnouts and chronic illness flare-ups and all of these lessons that are completely normal to other people, but I had to learn the hardest way possible and over and over. So yeah, that's Tiff the early years.
It's an era.
Imagine black and white, right? Sepia tone. So, <yeah. laughs> and then now success is like, yes, it's about income, but it's also about balance for me, right? For a balance that suits me. And when I say these things, I don't want anybody to think, okay, oh, I should do it like Tiff, you know, she's only working, you know, 3 to 5 hours a day, 4 days a week, right? And sometimes when I have pain flare-ups, then it's 3 days, or if I'm caring for an aging parent, then yeah, it can be less if we have sudden hospital visits and things like that. So yeah, but that's some of the thing that I've been building in recent years. Even when it was more do the brave thing, I've still been trying to build that, you know, like I want 6 figures on 10 hours a week is the dream, right? And then if I can curb my manifesting generator side, where it's like, oh, passion projects and all this and new hobbies and I could monetize them and not fill the gaps that I create, then we'll get there. But that's what I'm going through at the moment is that side of thing. And then also choosing to do things in my business that really light me up, that don't drain me. Choosing to work with particular clients who light me up and don't drain me. And because I've been doing this for so long, oh, sorry, I have an alarm going off. Sorry. Okay. That's obviously to remind me about something that doesn't matter today. Sorry about that. Another way I keep myself in check. Mm-hmm. I put the phone on flight mode and yet the alarm just betrayed me. So I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, so yes, that I was talking about finding some things like tasks and choosing clients that light me up and not, I found out that I was kind of gravitating towards doing the hard jobs that nobody else wanted to do and not getting paid very well for it, and then unwiring some of that. That has helped me to build a business that just feels calm and centered, not always being reactionary and doing things at the last minute, sort of planning further ahead, which can be a struggle for me. And yeah, just being able to show up in like calm confidence is how I want to feel, and not necessarily overwhelmed with all the tasks and doing all the things, which can happen as a manifesting generator because I get excited about all the things.
I mean, like, that's all so relatable. And I feel like what might be more relatable now, at least for the people who are probably listening, is we're all in the age where we likely have aging parents, right? Or aging family members that we may need to step in and care for. And how do we balance our business, right? Like, for me personally, we both, my husband and I, have aging parents. And while they're okay now, at some point they will need our help. We also have kids, right? And, you know, so balancing that as a woman going through perimenopause, right? Like, perimenopause is here now, right? So all of these things. And I think, you know, what you spoke about, you know, building the big team, the flashy things. Like, I remember that time in the internet when it was like, oh, I'm going to build like that person and I'm going to have all this cool stuff. And, you know, just so on and so forth. And then realizing like, oh, wow, it's a lot of work to build that. And like, I am also the kind of person that looks at that and is like, I can do all that myself. Of course I can. But I think it's so important to also realize your boundaries with yourself and your time, right? And being able to look at something and go, yes, I want a six-figure business on 10 hours a week. Now, how do I make that happen, right? What do I need to delegate? What do I need to say no to so I can say yes to something else?
Oh yeah, that has been some of the hardest work of what do I say no to?
Yes.
And even now I'm on the edge of some decisions in that way of like, oh, what do I need to say no to for right now? Because the hardest part is like for me, it's not that I don't want to delegate. I do have like two assistants who work for me. They work part-time and yeah, like I can't wait to delegate and have the team and, you know, all of that stuff. It's just that the income isn't quite supporting that vision yet. And right. So it's the building a business for who I am right now rather than necessarily the vision of who I am in the future. And I know that probably goes against some of the manifestation work and things like that, but in some ways there's a certain reality and it's not going to be that reality forever. But as much as I want to say, hey, I have the six figures and all of that stuff right now, I technically don't. And so, yeah, like that version of me, she doesn't exceed her income and, yeah, makes plans around it. And sort of that's how I step up.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've listened to a few different podcasts talking about like how when you're planning for the future, you're never really like getting things done today, right? Because we spend so much time like projecting forward that we almost forget to live in the moment, right? So I think has to be a balance there, right? Of that, like, okay, I have to look forward. I have to dream and have goals, but I also have to be realistic and understand like, what can I do right now that will get me one step closer to where I want to be tomorrow? And I think that balance, I mean, I struggle with that balance. So, you know, this is from a place of like, oh, wow. Yeah. I like all those thoughts in my head of like, yes, my six figure self and all this stuff, but like, I'm not at six figures right now, but I want to be. So you have mentioned, and I know we've talked a lot. You were a guest on my Chaos to Clarity podcast and we talk quite often. and we've been talking now about kind of creating a business that doesn't entirely like rely on you. So when did you realize that what you were building, like that you wanted to go in that direction where you wanted to be able to delegate? Like, was there anything that came up for you that was like, yes, I absolutely want to have a team of some sort?
So for me, because my background, I worked in IT project management, and then I moved into marketing in day jobs and things like that. So I worked for government and nonprofit here in Australia. And so managing people, that's always been on the radar. So like, I've always planned to have people, have a team and get things off my plate as quickly as possible. And before I had my business, I read, here's a throwback for you, right? To the old internet, right? This will tell you how old I am, but the 4-hour work week. Do you remember that?
I do. I think I have that book on my shelf.
So there's this one particular part in it where he talks about how he's the bottleneck of his business. And so he brings people in to make sure he's not the bottleneck and make sure it all functions without him. And I have been in that situation a number of times. So that was one of the first things where it was on my radar. However, you know, in the beginning, the income doesn't necessarily support it. The other times it came up, for me, like the first person I ended up hiring was a VA to help me with content. So like I write all of my content, but she does the designing, the images and the scheduling. And I organized it that even if I don't give her work, she gets paid. So this helps me stay, like in the beginning, in the early years, helped me stay consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So I always had somebody waiting for content because an audience of hundreds isn't enough for me because, you know, it's nobody's going to die if I don't put out a post, right?
Right.
And that can happen for weeks and weeks. Right? Especially when I had a day job and I was managing both a day job and building the business. So yeah, that was my first sort of hire. And you know, she does a few hours a week. And it's not that I can't do the graphics myself. It's just that taking that off my plate and, you know, like I can get perfectionistic about it and it slows me down. So it's like, great. And with the scheduling, I found that I would hold back on back in those days because I hadn't really discovered my business bravery side. And so I would stress about content and not put it out and all that kind of stuff. So it's like somebody else pressing the post button was also really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the years, I've also experimented with some other people on my team, like helping with lead generation and helping with podcast production and that kind of stuff. And then when I'm doing website projects for clients on my services side of the business, then I actually hire in contractors who like do the build part, but I give them all the design and oversee everything. So yeah. Some of those things. So yeah, that's how that came about.
Cool. Yeah. I think that's really like, that's really awesome because I never thought about having a team ever, never, never, ever. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah.
When I left corporate and well, I never had a team in corporate, right? I worked on a team, but my position was always support, right? I was the, even though I did a lot of things, right? I took photo, I took video, I created training documents, I put manuals together, right? Like I used FrameMaker and all kinds of stuff. By the end of it, I was giving presentations to our clients and like, so I was doing a lot, but I never had anyone supporting me. Like it was always just me doing the work. Same thing in my photography business. I was the only one who ever did work. And I did hire a photo editor for like one season. And that was so weird to me to like send my photos off and then they would come back like, I don't know, a few days later edited. And I was like, this is so weird. And now my photo business is in a place where I don't have as many sessions per month. So I was like, well, it doesn't pay to give these to you because it's like a couple sessions a month where I can like sit down and it's more cost effective for me to do it than to send it off and have someone else do it. So that's so interesting. Like just how the different thought processes. And now I'm at a place where I do need to hire, right? Like I do need to bring on a VA to help me with some of the things that I'm doing. Like building inside of people's go high level accounts and so forth. And I'm like, I am not sure I know what to look for, right? Like that was something that I was thinking about this morning where it's like, I need to hire someone, but like who, right? Because if you go into a Facebook group and you say, I need help. Like I need someone to help me with my go high level account. I mean,
yeah.
You're going to get so many responses, right? Like I've seen posts where it's like, I need help with my Go High Level account. And there's like 400 responses on there. And I'm like,
yeah,
I really need to narrow this down.
So this is where like coming from my background, I end up with like full on like position descriptions type thing, like from my background, right? So it's like, hey, here's the role, here's what I need them to do, here's how they'll be successful. And a lot of that, and I forgot to mention, like I have like standard operating procedures for things, even though I'm the only one in my business doing things. It's how I stay on top of things. So that way it's very clear to be able to hand over of like, here's what this person needs to do. Here's how I want to work with them and that kind of thing. It's very important, especially for the website building projects, for me to be able to say, okay, so, you know, here's when you get paid, here's the kind of communication I need and those kinds of things. And writing the right kind of like advertisement helps to get rid of people who aren't a great fit. And so part of it is the soft skills and part of it is those like the, you know, here's what the job does, but it's like, it's the communication that will ruin everything faster than anything. on a lot of projects. And I think in most things in business, it's like if you've got somebody, like if you're a very high visionary thinker and you need somebody to handle the details, like a lot of the time people hire people, especially like VAs, who are the same as them, who might be similar, and then it doesn't work because nobody's handling the details and some of those sorts of things to kind of keep in mind.
Yeah, that's, I will absolutely commit that to memory because, I mean, that's, and that I think is a big struggle for a lot of people, right? Like finding the right support in your business. So my next question is, what's the biggest bottleneck in your business right now? And I'm curious to know, but also just kind of what we've been talking about, you know, we've talked about a couple different bottlenecks in business, right? And I think a lot of people have them, but I'm curious for you, do you feel like there's a bottleneck right now that's happening?
Yes. Yes, I do. And oh my gosh, I don't even know if I want to admit this, but the bottleneck is still me. It's still me, right?
I mean, same though. Like, you're not alone there.
Yes. Partly because I manage chronic health stuff. And so things can get, like, as much as I do all the things, manage my sleep and nutrition and exercise and all that kind of stuff, sometimes things just come up and they have to reschedule things. So, for example, that Yap challenge that we talked about earlier, I created this system so that I could get it done. So it's like on a Thursdays, I sit down and I write out the, plan and write the reels and have a full script. On a Mondays, I'm going to be recording them. And then Monday afternoons, I can do some editing and then upload on following days and that kind of thing, right? Sort of a schedule that suits me. And that's all great until my cycle decides to just, go completely nuts and and it's just like it's gone longer than ever before and it's like it falls at the wrong time and it's like, but I planned around you, but you just didn't cooperate. No, my cycle's like, ha, 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 she has plans to work around her cycle.
Yes.
And I'm not talking 3 or 4 days late, people. I'm talking nearly 14 days late. So then like I'm having to shift and go, okay, what do I do in those seasons? And likewise for my VA who helps me with the podcast, sometimes those things, like I have to communicate a lot and I work in like doing things in batches so that it's like, okay, we can kind of be ahead so that if I have some health issues, nobody on the outside knows. And like my clients never know because I've built in extra time into building websites and coaching. It doesn't have the same impact, obviously, even if I'm on my deathbed, I can coach. Oh, I shouldn't have spoken that into existence. But anyway.
But I think, so my next question deals with systems. And although you may be your own biggest bottleneck, you've also now kind of built systems that at least kind of, right? Like they're there, they're supportive, right? And even if things go totally awry and, I would say like we are all our own biggest bottlenecks, right? I was talking to someone earlier today who she's fairly new in business. And she was like, well, I just don't know where to start. Like, I was like, well, you have a freebie, you have an offer. Like, why aren't, she's like, but I have no leads. And I said, have you talked to anyone though? Well, no. And I'm like, okay, well, you're your biggest bottleneck right now. You have to, you have to make the first step. And she was like, oh, okay. But yes. I'm curious, is there any like system or habit or process that has really had a big impact on your business?
Mm. Oh, okay. I might need to think about that for a moment because like for all of those things at the time that I'm in them, it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's going to fix everything until the next thing comes up.
Right.
But yes, batching content and that kind of stuff has always really helped me. And yeah, trying to think of what else has really just helped everything. Planning further ahead, so I'm less reactionary, actually. And this is a skill I'm still building because those pathways in the brain of doing things at the last minute, or here's an idea, I want to work with it now. And especially when you have people on your team, kind of like there's nothing worse than working for somebody who's like, I've got the new vision, and then a week later, I have a new vision. And so like I like to take some time with things, and so planning things further ahead. But yeah, it has a real impact on my nervous system and how I feel day to day, and on be like creating like just great sorry, creating solutions to problems and creating websites for clients and things like that. That comes from a place like that's more grounded and confident, and I get to show up and maybe move through my day a little bit slower, but I'm like efficient and effective rather than having all the things bouncing around in my head, trying to do all the things and gotta do this and gotta do that. And just even as I hear that, like as I say those words, my body just everything gets tight, and the anxiety comes up, and it's like you're not making maybe the best decisions for your business from that space. And it's really stepping into this just slower, calm confidence has been what I've been trying to embody for quite some time now.
Yeah. And I think there's so much to be said about that. And I think a lot of people don't realize they get into that like hurried anxiety, I have to make all the decisions yesterday state until they're in it and they're like, "Man, I'm really tired. Why am I so tired all the time?" But they're always going a million miles a minute, right? And take it from a manifesting generator who lives in that space of going a million miles a minute. Something that I've started doing is like building in time to just not be at my computer, right? To not be on my phone, to intentionally read more and not read self-help books, because I used to read a lot of those. And even that, I found for me really put me in the space of, oh, I should do this. This book said that. That book said that. I need to do, right? Like all of these things. And probably like 2 years ago, I was like, you know what? What if I just stopped reading the self-help books and I started reading books that I just think are fun? Like I've read so many books in the last 2 years. Like this year, I think I've read like 20 books in 2026, just because I was having fun doing it. And I'm like, wow, this is so cool that I don't have to be like learning something from a book. Yeah, I love it. Okay, on the flip side of like the biggest impact, what is something that you've intentionally stopped doing that has helped you grow?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, definitely along those lines, and this might sound crazy as a podcaster, but I had to pull back on how many business podcasts I was listening to because it wasn't helping me anymore. Like you, I actually just had to try and bring some fun back into my life and really do some more hobbies and things. And because for the longest time, it's like, oh yeah, I can go for a walk, I'll listen to a business podcast, it'll feel like I'm working and I'm maximizing and doing all the things. But after some time, it was the way I started feeling doing that was like, and I still listen to business podcasts, just not with the same intensity, and just keep listening. And if you listen to these people, it'll all work out for you and you'll be in the mindset and you'll take more action. But I was burning myself out, and I was starting to feel like, oh, you should be further along. And so then the podcasts were less helpful. And yeah, it was, and same with the business books as well. I had to sort of pull back on those, and I am still listening to some, but it's and reading some, but just again, not like every spare minute of my time is being immersed in all of this stuff. It's like I have more balance in that I have some hobbies now. I have a new chess obsession. It's yeah, it's like it's just, you know, I sat down, I have 27 different hobbies. Weird.
Oh no. Oh no. Because I mean, like, you know, I also have a lot of like my oldest daughter, Maida, she's almost 9. She knows how to play chess. Like, she was teaching me how to play chess when we went to my in-laws'
Oof.
cabin, and I was like, how do you know this? But it was so fun. And I think, you know, in business, it can be so easy to step into the I've got to read all the business knowledge. I have to listen to all the podcasts, read all the books. Like, this is what all the people are talking about. You know, I know like the 75 hard challenge during that, you're supposed to read like self-help and business books and stuff like that. But sometimes as a business owner, we forget to play. And that was something that I noticed. Owning business, like different points in the last 20 years of business, I've noticed like when things got to a point where I was like, I'm not like playful anymore. I don't feel creative. And even if people tell me they don't have a creative bone in their body, if they've started a business, like that is creativity. It just might not be a drawing on the wall, right? So
But you're
when
still
I've
creating something from nothing, right?
right.
Like you're
Yeah.
envisioning something and bringing it into the world. I stand by this. It's a hill I'll die on. Creativity, right?
I mean, I feel like when I allowed more space for like things that are like, well, I don't know. I finished the Throne of Glass series not long ago, and I was like, I haven't been like hit like a ton of bricks by a book series since I read Harry Potter. Like, and I was like, oh man, I can't believe I didn't pick these up sooner. But also, I was like, I'm so thankful that, you know, last December I carved out like literally 10 minutes a day to sit down and just read a chapter and get immersed in something. So, you know, I think there's something to be said about like if you're feeling stuck in business, like allow yourself to go and play. And like let go of that, like I have to do it this way, because otherwise you're never gonna find your way if you're forcing it.
I remember these words of like what got you here won't get you there. And it's that whole like just trying different things and just seeing does this work for me, how does this feel, and and what results does it create, and just being brave enough to drop some things or being brave enough to try some different things. Just And I completely agree on keeping the fun. It's I had to try and inject that too, because when you've been doing business for so long, it can be really hard to find the fun because you've done it all before in some form or another.
So, what is something that people listening right now could do this week to help make their business lighter?
My brain wants to say 10 different things. Just using all. I want to say something awesome, and it's just this 2 minute thing. But I was thinking, if you wanted to make your business lighter, I mean, okay, I'm coming up with two things. You said one, but probably find a way to make something fun, because that really does help the lightness and like take that space, step away from the business. If that's definitely one thing. Another thing you could do is kind of like an energy audit. So, and that's one of those things. It's not as fun as the like just add some fun to your business. But the energy audit of just like if you kind of take a note of like I'm doing this task, but how do I feel while I'm doing it? And that can be a great way to work out systems you need to create, delegation, or things you need to drop of, how does it make me feel? So,
Yeah, I love that. I totally agree with both of those things. Like, understanding your energy when you sit down to do something, or if you have something that's on your to-do list that you have not done, right? And it's been there for like a month. Like, why haven't you done that thing? You know, like one of those energy audits where you're like, oh yeah, like things are fine, but there's this thing that's been on my list for a month now, and I just haven't done it because it feels big and scary, right? Like, why? Yeah. Like, what would you need to help move that forward?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, sometimes for those big scary tasks, I just set myself a timer for like 2 minutes or 5 minutes, and just to see if I can just get started, and then I can have a break. But it's just sometimes getting started can be the hardest part. It's like, you know, like, yes, it's a scary thing, but you're not too scared of it. But at the same time, it just keeps getting put off because it's important, not urgent. And yeah,
yep.
Sometimes it helps.
So what does built to scale mean to you?
Ooh, okay. So for me, built to scale is definitely what I'm working on in my business, because I want to be able to hand it off to other people. So for me, it's having the foundations in place so that you can scale to whatever level that is, whether that's just an extra one or two VAs or whether it's like a whole team. Not that you have to have a team, but it's because it's just that foundation of, okay, here's the systems that my business uses to run. Here's the systems that I use to get clients, and here's the systems that I use to service those clients, and here's the systems that I use to keep the admin and the lights on and all of that kind of stuff happening. And so it's like making sure you have those systems and then working out, okay, do I have other people? Can I handle all of this? How does this work? So yeah, that's that side. And then I guess on the other side, it's the business model side of like, okay, how many clients do I need to get to a certain amount, and how much am I working for those clients, and does that all make sense work-life balance-wise?
So, yeah, cool. Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I'll drop all your links in the show notes down below, but share with everyone how they can connect with you.
Okay, so the two best places to find me, first is over on Instagram. That's where I'm most active, at Tiffany G Studios. And then also I have the Business Bravery podcast, which you can find on Apple, Spotify, all major podcasts, and across a bunch of social platforms. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. And if you who are listening found any nuggets of wisdom today, make sure to rate and review, rate, like, subscribe, just do all the things, right? Push all those buttons wherever you see them, follow, subscribe, but also rate and review, because that's going to help this podcast reach more people who need to hear this. And you can find us over on Instagram. You can find us at sattva.io. And if you have something that you really want to share with me, feel free to slide into my DMs. Let me know what it is. If you want to be a guest on the podcast, you're going to find the link down below in the show notes as well. So come and join me so we can have a fun conversation like this. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much.